today we're going to share some of our experiences from Messiah Conference. So you'll get to hear brief highlights from individuals who attended. But keeping in mind, before we get started, if there was any association with the Twilight Zone, it was this past week. I say this because our nation is in a great need for prayer. Whether you know it or not, your freedoms are the potential is your freedoms are being taken away from you. And I mean, even if your head was in the sand for the week and you popped up for a minute, you heard something. Could have been as crazy as hearing the term concentration camps. It could have been, I mean, just the dialogues that are going on, keeping in mind there is a mode, there is an agenda that's going on. I was listening to a gentleman last night, David Horowitz. He's just written a book. He identifies himself as an agnostic Jew, yet he wrote a book about defending Christianity in America. There is hope for him. And basically everything is foundational towards Judeo-Christian values. Yet there is an agenda in this nation to remove those, to remove that very foundation from this nation. So I would say we need to be a louder voice. We need to defend what God has given us. We need to be able to speak boldly about our faith, unapologetic, and stand up to the lies that are being promoted. This requires a great deal of prayer, because with prayer comes action. With action comes results. And ultimately the results are returning of this nation back to God. So you think it's hard witnessing to a Jewish person? Try turning a nation of 330 million people back to God, one at a time. People were sent out to spy out the land, and now they are coming to bring back the reports. The question is, are the reports good or not? So some of you who went last year and didn't go this year, you know what I'm talking about. So we're going to start from front, work our way back. So Rita, I believe you're the first one. No pressure.
No.
And by the way, you've got a couple minutes. So.
Awesome. Fellowship with one another, going down, being there, the unity, fantastic. Learning so much from the different speakers in that. Have a better understanding how the Jewish got sidetracked, better understanding how the Christians got sidetracked from one of the speakers on changing the foundation of things. So it just neat, just neat. Another speaker on redirect. People ask questions. And understanding what is the question they really are asking from their heart gives a whole different perspective, gives them hope. Sarah Lieberman talked about the tabernacle and how it applied then, how it applies to our life now. Awesome. She's an awesome, so many awesome speakers. understanding, one reporter gave a report to us who interviews Trump. People are laying hands on Trump in prayer. You won't hear that in the news, but it was just such an encouragement to hear some of behind the scenes. And you never know personally what happens. Met somebody who is Italian, did not know the meaning history of my middle name, however, learning that I am Italian, part Italian, he gave me the meaning of my name, which goes back to the late 1800s. That was awesome for me. Another person I met, when I asked him, where are you from? Oh, Chardon, Ohio. Little town in Ohio, east of Cleveland. In all the people, you never know who you're going to meet, what you're going to learn. It's just awesome, awesome, awesome.
So the connective word there was awesome. And then she filled in the awesomeness with everything else. Okay, Edna, it's your turn.
This is my sixth year of going. I had a great time. It was great to see Gene Chester with the members of Kahila there. It meant a lot to him. I was blessed by the time that I had with my fellow Kahila people, my sisters and brothers. And they helped me in many times with the different things that I was going through. And I thank you, and I was blessed by it big time. Another blessing was when Jerry each morning would do a daily devotional with us. And they would give us suggestions that we go through the day and learn and grow from that. Like Sharita just gave, there were so many different speakers and so many different things to learn. I've taken notes, and I've been blessed by the notes, and I will be blessed by the CDs that come. There's not one that stands out. One that stands out was the one on gifts of the Spirit. And when he was talking to all about the gifts of the Spirit, and when he spoke on one of visions, and God spoke to me there, that, okay, Edna, you've been in a cocoon, like vision. Okay, Edna, you've been in a cocoon for a while, and I will enable you to be a butterfly. I've already signed up for next year. You can sign up where you pay $50 a month and then $50 after that. And that'll be my seventh year, and I'll go again. I'll even go to the regional one in Florida in December. Thank you much. It's well worth it.
And by the way, this is not an infomercial for next year. It's just, it's identifying where most of the where part of the congregation was, because part of the congregation wasn't here. So we weren't just goofing off. Okay. So, Paul, your turn.
Shalom, you all. I'm Paul, for those of you who don't know me. I haven't been here much lately because I've had a brake problem with my car that took about 3 months to resolve. So you'll see a little more of me now.
The answer to that problem.
I'm sorry?
When did you get the answer to your brake problem?
Oh, got the answer to this long unfolding problem the second day I was at the conference. So instead of a 2 week period of time, it was second day. So I'd like to tell you about two people I met at the conference. This was my very first conference. And on Thursday, I was in a prayer meeting that started at 7 o'clock. And at 7:02, there was noise coming from the hallway leading up to our room. And it was a man singing and playing a guitar. And beautiful voice, beautiful guitar. And as he approached, the noise got louder and louder, and it was intensified by the hallway design. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder if this is a little bit like when Christ returns to earth. It was that powerful. This man came in, still singing and still playing his guitar, came up to the front, faced us all, and finished his song. Put down his guitar, took out the shofar that was on his shoulder, and played it beautifully, facing us. And then he did something I'd never seen or heard before. He turned in a counterclockwise direction, and the sound was beautifully changed by his turning around. Then he went the other way, and once again, the sound was really beautifully intensified by what he did. And then he did the most humble thing I think I've ever seen in my life. He got down on his knees and prayed a prayer of repentance for how Christians have treated both Jewish people and Jewish Messianic people. And I've got to tell you, I was moved beyond belief. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Got to know this man subsequently. Turns out he is the director of nighttime prayer and worship at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Kansas. And he often sings in Hebrew. And you can go on the internet at any time, go to ihopkc.org, and you can see prayer and worship going on at any time, 24/7. And person number two that I met was the most beautiful woman my age that I've ever seen in my entire life, and her spirit is even more beautiful than she is. So praise God.
Okay, Ron, you're up.
Yes, I will not be the one to follow Paul, since I was the one that introduced him to that most beautiful woman named Barbara. God bless her. Okay, I have many, many things to do. I want to start with Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. In the Complete Jewish Bible, says, I thank my God every time I think of you. Time is not going to permit me to tell you how much each one of you mean to me. I'd like to first thank Paul for being my roommate. And that man he talked about that blew the shofar, we were in, I also want to thank Maria. She came back the day before, and we were coming back at around midnight. We always come in late after the services, because there's so much to do there. And she says, have you ever been to the rabbi's prayer morning session? I says, I've never done that. She said, well, you should want to do that. It's so wonderful. I went there, and our beloved Rabbi Stephen had led the prayer time that Maria was with, and that was wonderful. So I went that time with Paul. And that man, what's his name?
Sean
Young, if you want that website, he gave it to me about the International House of Prayer. So much to do. So little time to do it. I'm going to go back to the end of the week. Natalie was there last year, and she met this wonderful woman and her husband, Mary Beth Reeder, and her husband, Stephen. Wow, I'm telling you what. I met her on a Friday night, and it was because I had purchased a wonderful gift for my wife, because we were separated on our 42nd anniversary, July 2nd. And so the Messianic Jewish ministry in South India, Tamil Nadu, and I purchased a shawl to give my wife. And the young lady, Shanrika, was talking with Mary Beth. Oh, my, I'm telling you what. Mary Beth made an indelible impression upon my life. She sends her love to you, Natalie. Yes, very wonderful. I thank my God for every remembrance of Mary Beth. I want to say Paul and I went to the marketplace, and this couple was playing Shual and Julia Ben-Har. They're from Israel. They play the electric violin, and they are phenomenal. I thank Paul because he told me after they played that he was moved in tears when Julia was singing. And I didn't get it because they were singing the Lonely Shepherd. It was so precious, so beautiful. But you know what? The celebration that night on Wednesday in the chapel, the celebration of Israel, we're sitting there and we're sitting down with another man who wrote a book, by the way. It's called The Counting of the Omar. And his name is William Mark Huey. And we're sitting there, and Julia and Shaul Ben-Har are playing the electric violin. Everyone's dancing and everything. The following evening, I had the privilege and opportunity to go down in the second row and sit next to Julia. And I got to really be ministered to from their heart. It's so precious, so beautiful. Each one is so valuable. And, there's so much. I got a notebook I took with me, and it's half full. I took notes, so if you want to have any questions about anything. I'm going to end with this here. Julie told me not to talk about her. That's my lovely wife. But I can't help it. Because there's a couple there. Lisette Bassett Brody. She wrote a book etched in stone about archaeological evidences of the Word of God. Tremendous, tremendous book. She is the wife of David Brody, who for the last 10 years, he has interviewed President Trump 20 times. And he wrote a book called The Faith of Donald Trump. So I thank my God on remembrance every time I think of David and his wife, Lisette, because they both wrote in here. And I just want to share this. To Ron and Julie, you both are wonderful blessings in doing the Lord's work. Blessings, David Brody. That's because they spoke on July 1st, Monday, and I was moved by their testimony, how he led her to the Lord. She was from a Pentecostal church, and he was from a Jewish background, and she led him to the faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. And when I shared about my testimony with my wife, they were so blessed and touched. So I guess my time's up. I got a bag full of more stuff. I'm just going to try to tell God how much I thank God for each one of you.
Thank you, Ron. He does have a bottom, by the way, so.
P.S. Toby, I met two people, Sue Adams and Michelle, who are in your congregation in Massachusetts, and they now are worshiping with Rabbi David Chernoff. And when they knew that I was from Kahila in Maine, they wanted me to extend a special blessing to you because they wouldn't be where they are today without you. And they are so thankful. And we had such wonderful fellowship. And that was on Wednesday night during the celebration of Israel.
So, Connie, it's your turn now. She's bringing up, she's bringing up her bag as well, but no.
I have to say, this conference was awesome. I came so close to not going there so many times. I was going to cancel. I wasn't going to go. I felt it in my spirit. I just didn't want to go. It was just a bad thing. And I remembered that in the past, many times on Sunday mornings when I didn't want to go to church and I was tired or something, and I would just push myself and go. And when I went, wouldn't you know, that was the time that it was just right for me. So I pushed and I went, and I'm so glad I did. It was awesome. Again, Rita, awesome, awesome, awesome. And there were some special ones that we spoke with. Sarah Lieberman, her talk on the Mishkan and how it's a pattern for worship. She was amazing. And just going down and hear her, see her sing and dance and everything else, and her, just to hear her heart, it just brought you alive. And Paul Wilbur very, very quick. He was very, very good. He did about the restoration, to restore. And one, I mean, he talked about many things, but one of the things he talked about was a sword. And he had a picture of a sword on the overhead. And he was saying how it's a double-edged, right? It's a two-edged sword. And one side is the church. The other side is the messianic community, the Jews. And we have to get to, and this is God. The handle is God. And we have to get to the point to get both together. And we're getting closer all the time. And that was just a beautiful picture for me. And then last but not least, the other one that really struck me was Aaron Schust. He was amazing. I saw one of his first songs several months ago, and it was called Zion. And I heard it on YouTube, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is so good. And I sent it to Rabbi. And this guy is a Christian, and it's the whole song is like you would think it's written by a Jewish person. And so I found out he was going to be at the conference. Well, when he came out, I mean, the person who introduced him told us all about him and how he has a heart for the Jewish people and everything else. And he did it beautifully. I don't remember everything he said. But when Aaron Schust came out, he was crying because he could not believe all the things that this man had said about him. He was so humble. He was trying, like, he said, he said my name, and I said, oh, my gosh, I have to go out. And he's trying to clean his face off and everything else. And he came out, and he spoke, and he talked about going to Israel, and something changed when he went to Israel. He came back, and so he wrote this song. Actually, I talked to Joshua Aaron earlier in the day, and he was saying how Aaron had called him up, and he told him who he is, sent him an email, then they communicated. And he said, I have this idea for this song. Would you help me write it? And he said, sure. You know, so let's meet on Tuesday. He called him later that night. Dude, I got it all done. God gave him this download. And they met and they got together. But the song is all about the Jews coming back to the land. And even in his new CD that's going to be coming out, he's got this song, Zion, and he's got another one. He sings in Hebrew on two of them. And I really think this is what the church needs to hear, someone who's already well-known in the Christian circles to be humble and talk about this. And then he was talking how he came back and he was changed. He was speaking to someone, and he said, and I think this person was a messianic. I don't remember who he was talking to. And he says, have you ever heard of replacement theology? And he said, no, I never have. And he said, this man lovingly and patiently explained to him about replacement theology, and he said he just started crying. And right there on the stage, he said, I'm so sorry. You know, he was just broken. I was standing, I was crying, I was just broken. He was so sorry for the replacement theology, and that I really feel that, you know, God is moving. God's moving in the church to get the church to understand their messianic roots, their Hebrew roots.
Amen. Careful with that. Careful with that.
Hi, my name is Maria Monroe, and I just want to, I don't know what to say. I want to say thank you to Rabbi Stephen for being, saying yes to answer the call to be a rabbi. Because if it wasn't for him, we would not be here, and his wife as well. And like Connie, I had no idea. I hadn't been here in a long time. But I want to thank Al Green for saying, Maria, we need to come here. And I was like, really? I don't have time. And you know, God had to push me. And I had sang a lot of those songs. I had sang the Zion song. I listened to YouTube, and you can hear Joshua Aaron. You can hear Aaron Shute. And I would go to a Pentecostal church, and they would not appreciate this music, but I kept on trying to sing it anyways. The first song that I would sing when I went there was Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is to dwell in unity. It says, giving as the oil running down from Aaron's beard. It's like the precious oil coming down from Aaron's beard and coming down on the collars of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down from the mountains of Zion. For there Adonai commanded the blessing of life forevermore. When we went to the conference, the first night that Joshua Aaron got up on the stage, he sang that song. When I went to the Pentecostal church and they kept on asking me to sing, and I says, I'm Catholic, I don't sing. But I said, when I was 18, I went to Emmanuel Prayer Group in Sharon, Massachusetts, and we prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. We prayed for Jews to come to believe. And that was some time ago because I'm 56. So it's always been in my heart. And Joshua Aaron sang that song when we first arrived there on Monday. And Connie was so gracious to tell me, he's in the marketplace, go and see him. And I'm like, oh my, I'm like so happy. I'm thankful very much for Stephen. I don't know where he is, the motorhome person that, yep, I want to say thank you because I didn't think I was going to be able to come, and God just opened the door again. I was sitting at a table, and I didn't know Stephen, who he was, but God made a way where there was no way because everything was closed up. There was too many people, and he said, come on in, and I thank God, and it was truly a gift to come to this conference. I think that he just really wanted to bless me with dancing, singing, worshiping. All those rabbis that were preaching on all the talks, they're humble servants. They love the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the one, even interacting with them, very humble, very loving, you know, awesome is the word I guess we're using, but truly a spirit of love. The other thing, the last thing, I want to say it was from Jonathan Kahn, and I don't know for sure, but it was 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if I can even find it here. When my people over whom my name is called humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. So I think that was part of Jonathan Kahn's message. And I thank God for Rabbi's wife, Jerry, for doing the devotionals every single morning. And also they said, don't always be like, go and try to mingle. So I met a Jewish man who's by himself, and what a blessing. I thought I was going to be the one to bless him, but he was the one that was going to bless me. And he was going to tell me, well, you know, it would be nice if you want to go to prayer, you know. And look at, I said, okay. And then all of a sudden, Ron enjoyed himself as well. He would just tell me who to be with. And we ate meals together. And we just, he told me about his congregation in Pennsylvania. And a lot of them were speakers and people in charge. And they blessed him. They were a blessing. His congregation was truly a loving community who took care of him as well. And he was not ashamed to, you could tell he could interact with a 3-year-old from the congregation or the photographer. And everybody just loved him. But he was sitting alone, so I thought, I'd spend some time, and I was blessed. Thank you.
Steve, Maddie, your turn. My Maddie. This was the first year that we actually took youth and children with us. Maddie got to experience YMJA. Will got to experience the youth group, the junior youth group. So,
I was really blessed by being able to meet kids my age that have the same religion. So we were able to compare and relate to everything, like going to school and having this religion, and just being open with it and being able to talk about it. So that was great.
Good job.
I see some new young faces here today. It was great as a father to take my kids down and see them move into ministry. It was kind of funny because Rabbi said early on, he said, your son is going to take you places. And as William went into the children's group of the other children around his age, he's eight, he's playing with these kids and he's running around the marketplace. And I'm like, you got to stop. You can't run around here. And these kids stop, and I'm looking at some merchandise at Joshua Aaron's table. And these kids are still hanging around the table. And then I realize they look a little bit like the kid behind the table. And then I realize Will is playing with Joshua Aaron's kids. Oh, it went on. Because the people that were there who brought their children there, most of them are leaders. Most of them are worshipers. And the children that Will was sunk into as a group were the children of those people. And so, young, if you're young here, I got to tell you, most of us are old. But that doesn't mean we don't care about you, sincerely. I'll tell you, there isn't a body around here that cares about you more sincerely. Because we appreciate what God has in you. And it's a blessing that you're here. So first blessing I took away was seeing my children, because Madeline, she goes to public school and she fights the fight. She's a warrior and she will take on these issues with other kids, and she'll come home carrying the weight of having fought those battles. And sometimes she'll come home and tell me a story and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a letter. But I don't care if I get that letter. I'll defend her. But it doesn't mean it's not going to be a fight. I guess that's why we need a sword, right? But, Connie, you know your line. That's good. What did I come away with? I came away with relationship with this body in a way that I didn't have it before. I've only come here since last fall, and I was led here by God. There's no question about that. As I matured in my faith, I outgrew other things. That doesn't mean that I don't still go there. I don't still, I'm not still blessed by them. But I go there with a heart to minister and show them some of what I've found. But Rita, Cindy, I know these people now because we sat, we ate, we shared meals together, we shared experiences together. Paul emails me. I'm like, who is this Paul guy? He insists he wants to go. And I'm like, there's no problem with you going, but who are you? I didn't ask him, who are you? I just said, there's room. But I didn't know Paul till he got on the bus. And off we went. And Ron, such a blessing to have somebody to share the wheel time on the journey down, because it's a long drive and we went straight through. Arabasan. I learned a word there, a few actually. Arabasan. She says she wasn't a good rider. She was the greatest gift on the journey because she brought along her gaming computer to entertain my 8-year-old. But she didn't just indulge in this child in a computer. She brought along some lemon cookies for him because she found out that was one of his favorite flavors. She brought along other things that would take him out of the computer and back into reality, right? Because we all struggle with that as parents of young children, because they can get so immersed in technology. But she engaged him in other things. And she doesn't know it, but I could hear it. I knew what was going on back there. But I was so blessed that there was someone there to consider Will's needs, because I get to take care of my kids' needs. And when I'm on the wheel, I can't do that. So thank you. This guy was kind of quiet on the way down. He really was. He was really quiet. And I asked a couple of times, and I said, well, let's just talk about quiet. See, this guy, he was so quiet in the back. He says, I wanted to climb in the bed and take a nap, but he didn't ask me. But he was back there engaging with Will as well. But on the way back, he hopped into the passenger seat, and I shared a lot of my testimony with him. So, one little thing, relationships, real relationships. But that's not all. That's not all I took away. I've got this. You know? So, I was watching something this morning. It was kind of funny. It was on Facebook. I'm stepping away with the microphone. It was some friends of mine that go to the Rock Church, and they're doing a service project. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I see this guy trying to speak and inspire. And he's got the microphone. And I said, well, it's not just the microphone that equips you to speak and inspire, right? And I said, God, what is it that moves us to that position? And, you know, I thought about what we as believers think, because people that believe other things, they don't necessarily look for the same things in a leader, but we look for someone who's got a humble heart. We look for someone who's got a righteous heart. We look for someone who wants to do right by anyone, wherever they come from. And we want to get behind that person and support them, right? Thank you for leading me to conference. It was funny, the Rock Church was in the backyard this morning doing the project. The guy blowing the air horn, that's Les Wilson's son. Les has passed. But he works in contracting. He does service projects. They go to First Baptist over in Portland. I know a lot of people in the body of Christ because I've been active in ministry and getting involved in things for 15 years because I step into things. And I've learned things along that path. I've learned that sometimes we go in and we don't think we're equipped, right? So we want to stop because we're not equipped. But who does God equip? I can speak louder. He doesn't call the equipped, all right? He equips the called. So everyone that's here has a calling. So sometimes you're like, I don't have the equipment. I don't have the equipment. He hasn't given me the equipment yet. I don't have the calling. I went to conference with $2 in my checking account, driving a 40-foot bus with a load of people because God told me to go. And I said, you know, I've learned. I said, God, if you send me to go, it doesn't matter if I only have $2 because I've got enough to go. Fuel tanks are full. The rooms are paid for. Campground's paid for. Let's go. And others were able to go because we were going. And the same thing happens when we move out in ministry. Others are able to go because you're committed to going. Because you see the things that God calls you to do. And you step into them. And everyone here is gifted in that way. So, folks have shared a few verses. It was funny. Mine didn't come up until I got back. It's funny because I struggle with the last name. Ron will help me out. You were so blessed by Shaul and his wife's name? Julia. For some reason, I was communicating with someone named Paula, and I want to confuse the two. So, Shaul and Julia. So, one thing about conference is that, different than anything else I've attended, the folks that are ministering, the folks that are speaking, the folks that are singing, they are among the congregation. They're out there. They're at lunch. Will kept venturing off into the cafeteria, and he'd be off with some other speaker or artist's children. And I'm like, okay. So I'm standing in line one night, and Shaul is coming through, and he's got a T-shirt on that says something about motocross dirt bikes. And so we got to take a step, right? We got to do something. I'm like, you ride dirt bikes? I don't even know they had dirt bikes in Israel. Do they have room for them? He says, is that what this says? I don't know where he borrowed the shirt, but he obviously didn't buy it because he liked it. He goes, I ride motorcycles. He says, I said, what kind of motorcycles? He goes, you know, like cruisers, like Harleys. He says, oh, I've got a couple Harleys. He says, I'd love to do a tour across this country to see the country on a motorcycle. I said, we could do that. So we could do that. You see, God has planted a seed in my heart a long time ago, and it's a seed that's probably in your heart, and it's a seed of revival, right? It's like the stir, a great stirring in the body of believers. But you know what I learned at conferences? That the only revival that's prophesied is the calling of God's people home. That's the great stirring that is prophesied, and we're calling it. We're in it now. We're moving into it. So I said, well, we could do that. And I started turning it over in my head. And I said, well, all right, how would we do that? And I said, well, I've done some coffee house work and booked some music and ministry. I said, we could go out and do a music trip. And we could go and we could, well, what's God? What's the word? What's the new thing that we're sharing? And we learned about a program there called the Joseph Project, which is part of the MJAA. And I'm not going to get into depth about what the Joseph Project is, but what the Joseph Project is doing is moving in ways that unite the body. Because what they're doing is they're going to Israel and they're moving containers in. Because there are millions of people below the poverty line in Israel. Because what they have to spend as a government on defense doesn't allow them to fund the needs of the needy. So they've realized that with this project that they can bring in things and they can bring in either finances and purchase the things they need, but they can take things and give to those needs. And when we minister to people's needs, something happens, right? We develop relationship. When we say, we're not going to care that you don't see things the way that we see things, that you're not willing to accept that Yeshua is Messiah, but because Yeshua is my Messiah, I'm going to care about you. And they move in the Joseph Project and they do these things. So I said, okay, we could go on the road and we could talk to people about the Joseph Project and we could do some music. Because now I know people. I know people that live 5 miles from those rockets that are being fired into Israel. I know them. I can email them right now. And I said, and putting a face on that makes it much more real to me. And I don't believe that there are hearts of people out there that love Yeshua or Jesus that wouldn't be moved in that. If you really, really put that right in front of them, I would pray that those blinders come off. And so I got home and I said, okay, God, you know, that was stirring. I saw all these things, but I don't know if it's really from you. I don't know if you really want to move there. And I'd been off my devotional for a couple of weeks. And I said, God, I feel like I need to read to prepare. I need to get things out of your word that affirm this, that move this. And I said, but I probably should finish up that reading plan that I've neglected for a couple of weeks. And I got into my reading plan. And as I finished the last scripture in my reading plan, sometimes God has done this with me. I'll be away from my reading plan. And he brings me back to it right when it's relevant, right when I'm really ready to see it. Luke 14:23. And the master said to the slave, go out to the country roads and boundary walls and insistently persuade people to come in, so that my house may be full. That's not all that I took away, but I'm taking a lot more time than I was given. Thank you for hearing it. And if you feel inspired to work with me on those things, then you can catch up with me later. Shabbat shalom.
Is my man purse. I still work. I'm not retired. I'm refired and retreaded. And if I got to say that once, I got to say it 10 times at that conference with elderly men who are retiring. One gentleman said to me, I don't even know. I've never accomplished anything in the Lord. And I got to witness to these guys. And that was, thank God. Thank you for taking us. And ready to go, way back there. Thank you again. See what those things happen. Anyways, I'm working and I take care of, I'm a caregiver for the mentally challenged adults. And my client says, oh, I think his father put him on this. He says, don't forget your man purse, which I carry with me all the time. I carried it there. But I want to tell you a few things that happened wrong. First, you want to learn to follow these things. Remember to bring, see, I got, you know, earphones I brought, all kinds of stuff, my meds, I got on my cell phone, and it's just getting peace. You never know when you're going to have to fix tears, coffee, dance, scissors, you name it. I got it in here because I've learned traveling, you never want to forget. To take everything you possibly can, because you know when you get there, you're going to have troubles not having what you really need. And I found out a few things that we really needed. One is I will remember now from now on to bring seasick pills. Two cell phones. I lost my cell phone in the trip, and the other guys are all laughing, and I got wrong. All kinds of problems, didn't I, huh? And still can't get this one activated fully because of the mess up. So don't forget to bring two cell phones. Two of everything if you can help it. All right, and most of all, I forgot and never forget, especially if you're going to go to yeshiva classes, my pillow firm. And I left it behind. Now, when I went there, I took a big leap. I took two yeshiva classes in a row. Now, these things are 4 hours each day for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. Then the next one is Wednesday and Thursday. And they're 5 hours. And these guys are 4 doctorate degree academics. And I'm telling you, they don't leave one rock uncovered. And it's on. And I want to say, I came away saying, but I think I understand what they said because I've learned here so much that it didn't. At times, I was saying, like the other older guys. How am I going to accomplish what you've called me to do, Lord? But he showed me through these other classes that I could do it, and there was things that was there. So after taking the classes, I found a very refreshing to go to a class by Rabbi Matt Rosenberg. His theme was, not a quote, "The keeping of the whole Torah is not for anyone." And I instantly spoke up and said, you mean not for all people? No, he says, "Keeping the whole Torah is not for anyone. Not even Yeshua kept the whole Torah. And he did not sin." Well, first of all, he wasn't a woman. He wasn't transgender. He was a man. So that answers that, what you've taught us. And he's got it all on the internet of all the colors and everything else that we don't have to get. But what he did was went on. It was so wonderful. I think he's got a doctor's degree, if I'm not mistaken, also. But anyways, he made it so clear about how the Torah was for all mankind. And it was originally made that way. It was given to the Jews to give to the world from the beginning. That was what God's plan was. He set a great example of the joy and not the curse of the Torah. He outlined that so dramatically. He's a very dramatic guy, isn't he? He's a comedian. And he goes through it with comedy all through it, but seriousness too. I'm on my way to recovery of my first coming into my messianic movements and strength. I was very, very vivacious, I guess is the word, of telling everybody about they needed to keep the Torah and they needed to stop eating lobster and they had to do this and they had to do that and they couldn't do this. And he blew that all away because what he's teaching us is how to witness. Because to show them how wonderful and how beautiful the Torah is. and what the joy is given out of it when we keep it. And that was so, man. And so I recommend that everybody, we're going to have it up here, I'm quite sure, the classes, that you hear that class. That is a powerful class for us witnesses, especially us Gentiles. It was really terrific. And as he said, it was made to bless all mankind, as Father intended it to be, to Israel first, and then be given to the whole world. I suggest you again, everyone, get that podcast. And also, don't forget, I'm going to put in the plug. We're working hard over there for me first. That's why I'm doing it. Because I can go home and I can listen to this service preaching and teachings that Rabbi's giving us, and I can listen to it, because that's the only way you're going to learn. Most all people, you got to listen to the same thing you heard when you leave here at least two times to grasp up and around 70% of what was taught. Remember that. That's a valuable tool. Thank you very much for providing it and giving me a little space.
So while Steve's repacking his MRFs, so Cynthia is now going to share her experience as...
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. It's good to be back. I missed you all so much. Ooh, thank you. All right, let me start out by saying that this was a great bonding experience with Kehillah and with other Messianics. We had a great ride up, although long, but was still very enjoyable. I got to know the four in my vehicle better and had a lot of fun with them on the way and especially at the conference. We had so many good laughs. I attended the Messianic dance, which was awesome. We certainly learned some new moves, which Connie's going to show us tomorrow and we'll bring back to you. It was also so beautiful to see hundreds of dancers move to the music in worshipful praise, circle upon circle upon circle. It was magic, like heaven. Even the entertainment, the people that sang at night, was in awe of its rhythm and grace and gave just a glimpse of how powerful worship can be. We had some fantastic music. Paul Wilbur, the Isaacs, Aaron Schuss, to name a few, would highly recommending checking some of them out. I didn't know these names before I went. I knew Paul Wilbur, but most of the other ones I didn't. Now for the meat. My favorite seminar was with Michael Riddlenick on the influence of Rashi on Messianic prophecy interpretation. This seminar was enlightening and emphasized to me that we need to read the word itself with the Ruach HaKodesh and not rely on interpretive texts or philosophies, except maybe to challenge us to think deeper. He explained perfectly what Peshat is and how it has been redefined by Rashi in something that it is not. I think it's crucial to listen to this particular teaching, which I won't go into here. I couldn't possibly repeat all the information he gave us. I have to listen to it several times more. It was so good. He is an extremely knowledgeable professor with research that went above and beyond whatever he had been taught in school and sought the true meaning of the text along with historical influences that sometimes change the meaning and intent of things that we should be aware of. He is a true Berean. Look in Acts if you want to know what a Berean is, and sets the example for us to do the same. He has written a new book called The Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy, which will be out on 9/3. This isn't a commercial, but I am eagerly awaiting it to come out. Another speaker who was extremely engaging with great stories of his experience as a Messianic journalist in the White House. And his interactions with Trump were honest and entertaining. Whether you are for or against Trump, or both, like me, it was just amazing, his stories. A must listen to, of the compilation of recordings that Rabbi was so gracious to bring back to all of you. I highly recommend you pull them and listen to them. The third one was Sarah Lieberman, who spoke on the revelation of the tabernacle, interactively assessing true presence. She did an amazing teaching. You've got to pull it and listen to that one, too. They were all good. She said, there is no word in Hebrew for presence. It says instead to be before the face of God. She looked at the model of the tabernacle and how Adonai manifested his presence there for his people. Worship in heaven happens at the tabernacle, so she studied the tabernacle. There is a pattern there for the priesthood, not a formula, but a pattern to be aware of, since we are also considered a royal priesthood. Turn everything into an act of worship. This is something I strongly believe in all my life and strive to continually do throughout my normal day, whenever I can think of it. And I always ask God to put it on my heart to make everything I do an act of worship. It's really hard to sin when you're thinking of everything that you do being an act of worship. They're mutually exclusive. That's where I'm trying to plug in. Her take on it is so interesting. Again, I would highly recommend it. Pull those tapes. Listen to it. They're beautiful. As for me, I found this to be a great cross between learning and retreating. I had the opportunity to spend time with Adonai in a personal way that brought me closer to him, which contrasted completely to the communal setting. It was actually surprising to me that I had that time with him. It made me look closer at my relationship with him and examine my own walk with a magnifying glass. The more you realize how feeble and failing are all your attempts to get to know Adonai and walk closer, the more you realize the conflict and the struggles that present themselves are part of his design. That's a hard one to swallow. All the things that you need to be made right in your life are the very things in which you truly learn from, glean truths from, and are opportunities for growth. Growth in faith, trust, and wisdom. I understand a better degree the sacrifice and surrender I must make toward him. I never want to come into his presence empty-handed. I must be thoughtful about how I approach him and open my heart further so it can be filled with his thoughts, desires, and plans for my life. I gained far more understanding and insight than just the informational aspect, and I'm grateful for the time I spent learning, interacting, and finding the heart of my Lord. My heart was filled to overflowing, seeing Jews and Gentiles worshiping together. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And when Jonathan Kahn spoke at the very end on the last night, it seemed to sum up all of my feelings about how things have come full circle from messianic time upon Yeshua's arrival to now in his future coming. It is even more important that we are prepared in every way and that we understand his plan to save us all. Thank you.
So if you're not certain yet, think about next year. Next year is a short 11 and a half months away. Jerry, did you want to share?
First, I want to thank Terry for taking care of breakfast last week for me. Thank you. For Rob and Natalie for struggling through learning what ministry is really like. And Steve, for being willing to take the camper and drive it on the way down. I thought in one spot the earth was going to swallow us up. We went into a great big hole and the camper started to turn. Everything was flying out of the cupboards. And this is from a woman who hates to ride in a car. So, and I was so car sick. And how do I politely, as a Rebbetzin, vomit because I am so car sick And we went to a rest stop. We asked them for Dramamine. They were all out. And I started praying, and Ron left behind. I went back to the camper, not knowing that God would provide, but not how he's going to provide. And Ron comes in with one package of Dramamine. So we were good. And thank you all for being faithful and coming. You are our family. You are our firstborn. And with any firstborn, to leave you for the first time. Mothers, remember when you left your child for the first time? Mine was three. My oldest child, I did not leave with anybody until he was 3 years old. So it was a very hard thing for Rabbi and I. But it was worth it. And if you want to know what those symbols mean, you have to go to conference. I learned about leadership there. I also learned about Hasitan's traps. And I learned how we capture monkeys. In Africa, they would capture monkeys in the following way. They would go to where the monkeys hang out. And Will taught me the difference between hanging and hanging out. So I have it now. That kid, I love that kid. usually at a water supply. They would place a cage with bars on all four sides with no entrance. Inside the cage, they would place the bait. The monkey would try to get the bait, but they could not. They would reach between the bars and grab the bait with their hands. When trying to remove their hands, they found out they could not get their hands out. Now a fist with the bait. They are now captured because they will not let go of the bait. All you have to do is drop it and pull out. There are four things that are needed in creating a good trap to make it work, and Hasitan applies all four of these items. Make it easy for the prey to get in, hard to get out. Give it an attractive bait. For the believer, it's a right sounding, something we should be doing, right standing with God is his most common bait. The second is a fence. Create a fast way for the trap to close. Once in the trap, the more the prey struggles, the more tired and trapped it becomes. The trap has to fit the prey being used to catch. Why? The more you know about the prey, the more effective a trap can be devised. So I want to ask you a question today. Are you the devil's monkey? In last week's Parsha Korach, 250 of the Levites, the leadership class of the sons of Israel, who are in the spotlight, have done something that leaders must never do. They publicly break with the leadership above them in order to highlight their own status. A leader is going to face crises and demonstrate his leadership by how he handles those crises. The leader must discuss these crises with his staff. Moshe has the head coach of Israel, was the head coach of Israel, and the priests and Levites were his staff. Every leader is eventually going to face a crisis at some point in their career. How do you as a leader deal with that crisis? Remember this. If the leader does not operate under the authority of his calling, someone will take it away from him and use it against him. You must face it head on. You must address and deal with the crisis before it can be placed in the past. You must also tell the truth. The more you tell the truth, the more you put it into the past. That doesn't mean you have to put it on a billboard, nor does it mean you have to hit people over the head with it. But you must tell the truth. This is exactly what the Levites failed to do. At a time of crisis, when the judgment that fell on the Israelites after the evil report of the 10 spies, these leaders, members of Moshe's management team, did the worst possible thing. They did not only publicly critique Moshe's leadership, they also sought to set themselves up in the priesthood business without any reference at all to Moshe or Aaron's authority.
Beware of the temptation to use your leadership position as a platform for building your own kingdom. There are few things more destructive in a congregation than leaders fighting over turf and influence. Now, for the people. The major error the people of a congregation can make, as revealed in Parsha Korach, is seeking leadership compatible with their feel good just like the others kind of vision. Why is this an error? God has the habit of choosing leaders who stretch his people, taking them out of their comfort zone. We need these kind of leaders. Why? God takes his leaders out of their own comfort zones in order to lead his people out of theirs. And I can tell you, every single day I'm taken out of my comfort zone. We also want to take you out of yours. God demands heart-based obedience from those who are his. God has given us genuine freedom to choose, but he holds us accountable for our choices. God expects us to obey him and his leading, whether we feel like obeying him or not. It all comes down to obedience towards God. God appointed Moses and Aaron as leaders. When the leadership were questioned, God got angry, and there were consequences. God has many things he wishes us to follow. It is our choice, but the results of our actions come about depending upon our choice to follow his word. Again, I ask the question, are you the devil's monkey? I'm in a unique situation where this man is my husband, but he's also my rabbi. And sometimes I have to tell him, I'm telling you this as your wife. And then he'll come back, well, I'm telling you this as your rabbi. So it puts me in a unique position. To be perfectly honest, I did not want to go to conference this year. I did not want to go at all. My heart wasn't in it. My attitude wasn't in it. I was exhausted. And then my rabbi told me I had to go. And I was like, okay, buddy, but you're going to pay for it. But there is a blessing in obeying. There's a blessing in following the order that God has put into place. Not only as my rabbi, but as my husband. I need to submit unto him and not what I want. Even if it's against what I want. And I'm not saying this that he's a tyrant and you're going to do this. He listens to me. He lets me be me, which is sometimes a very hard thing to do. But there was a blessing in obeying. There was a blessing in submitting to his will and not my own. So ladies, if you're married, submit unto your husband. You'll receive blessings that you have never even known existed in your marriage and in your walk with God. Because if you're not going to submit to him, how are you going to submit to God? Men, God has also placed leaders above you. And you need to submit to that leadership. If you believe that they're taking you someplace God has not wished you to go, then it's time to find new leadership. But you don't destroy the old leadership when you go find the new. So we all have someone over us, somebody that we're accountable to. And if we submit, and I tell anybody who knows me knows I'm not a submissive person. It is difficult for me. It's something I have worked on my entire life. But I urge you to submit. And I urge you to let go of whatever bait the Hasatan has put in the trap where your hands, where you're trapped now because you won't let go of the bait. I can tell you from personal experience, the bait is not worth it. It is not worth it.
It is not worth the time of your life. It's not worth the heartache. It's not worth the separation from God. So open your hands. Turn them up, not to grab, but to receive. And we can take this congregation places that we all have never dreamed of. Not we can. Nothing that we can do. God can through us as his obedient servants can take it. It's nothing that we can do. It's nothing that we have done. All honor, all glory goes to God and what he is doing through us, what we have the privilege of doing. And we told Stephen Taylor that, first of all, we can't have any more Stevens in the congregation. That's it. But Rabbi told him before the conference, or I guess a little after, you know, that kid's going to take you places. And then he started making friends with all the conference leaders and singers. And the last day, I was hanging out because I was informed if I was hanging with him, we'd be upside down. But I was hanging out with Will, and we went to this table in the marketplace, and the woman prophesied over Will when he walked up. And she said, you know, this child is going to be a mighty man of God. And I claim that for Will. But it's our responsibility to teach him along with his father. We are an extended family. And it's just not his job to teach Maddie and to teach Will. It's our job too. And we need to be ready and willing to do that job. I did have thank you cards for anybody. I lovingly chose the perfect ones. I got the perfect scriptures. They were all ready to bring today. They're sitting on my desk.
Me too. Almost. Okay. Well, we're going to do, I'm calling an audible because I don't know if you'll be able to contain everything today, as Steve mentioned. You're hearing all this stuff, and I don't want it to dissipate because we learn from each other's experiences. And if any of you have gotten hungry as a result of anything that was said, that I don't want to stifle that. So we're going to continue with our worship. We're going to continue with the songs. The message that I prepared for today, I'm going to do next week. So you have a chance to absorb everything you've been hearing today. Because, I kid you not, there was a lot of good stuff there for you. So, okay, Ron. Seeing as I already called the audible, I'm
thank you.
Handing it off to you for a moment.
Okay, thank you. This is a divine miracle that took place. As I was packing my bags, my lovely wife was helping me. I had taken an alarm clock that has batteries. And I had put them in. And my wife said, well, you don't need to take the alarm clock because you could use your cell phone as the alarm. So I said, okay. I took the big alarm clock and left it home. But I had forgotten to take out the two AA batteries. Well, I didn't know, but during the sessions, there was a session that Doug Hershey was doing called Modern Israeli Technology Unveiled in Biblical Prophecy at 2 o'clock at Boyer Hall, Palmer Cinema. And as he's speaking on Israel Rising, he wrote a book, and this is a calendar, and he's speaking about how the 70 years ago, this is what the land looked like. In 70 years now, it's really increasing with all kinds of vegetation and just as God prophesied would be. And then all of a sudden, his microphone goes dead. He says, oh, is there anyone that has batteries? And I raised my hand, but nobody realized it because I was in the crowd with so many. So the sound director was way up on top, and he comes down with the only batteries that he had. Nobody knows this. This has not been spoken to anybody unless I told Paul in the room, and he's the only person that knows that this was a divine miracle, because when he came down, I also came down, and I was with him, and he's got AAA batteries. They don't fit into the microphone. I said, well, could you use these? Perfect. They took them, put them in. We all left, and the sound kept on going. And so this reason it was a divine miracle, there's a ministry called Manna Recording and Duplicating, and that session wouldn't have been recorded if I wasn't obedient to my wife and I had batteries. You know, it's just God uses us all, and it was a divine miracle. Praise God. Thank you.
It's my fault. I get that all the time. Look what you've done. You've got the shoulders. It's your fault. So let us continue. Like I said, hopefully all of you have been blessed by what has been said and shared. Like I said, this week on the website, the recording will be on there. There won't be any notes or anything with it, but just listen to it. Listen to what was shared. And this isn't an infomercial for next year, but know that God is moving. He's moving within this congregation. He's moving outside of this congregation. And places that we don't know and things that we don't see happening, he's actually working them all together for a bigger purpose. So we are a piece. We are a part of the body. And God is using us wherever we may be. As you've heard from several of the people here, a lot's transpired and a lot is transpiring within the body of Messiah. So it should be obvious what we pray for, at least today, based on what you've heard. That the move of Messiah continues, that eyes are open. And what Connie didn't share with you about Aaron Schust, I shared this, that what he was doing when he repented of what he unknowingly experienced growing up, not knowing what replacement theology was, yet being fully immersed in it, yet never confronted with it. Yet his prayer of repentance was similar to that of Shaul. And what I said was, this is what it looks like when the scales falls off of a Gentile. Because there are scales on both sides of the bridge. And there's scales that need to fall off on both sides. So Steve was talking about taking this forward, ministering in such a way that you enable God to do the work, but we are the laborers. There is much. There is so much. It was talked at the conference that there's only one revival recorded in Scripture. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about past revivals, because this week's message for next week is leading into Rosh Hashanah. Yes, it's July. I'm talking about Rosh Hashanah in the summertime at the apex of the temperature, because there's already messages, some of them from several years ago, that are going to propel and help you understand this revival that God has promised to the Jewish people. Now, keeping in mind You can either be outside of the bus, catching on to it, or you can be inside the bus and going through comfortably. There's this joke. I don't know if I call it a joke, but it's an analogy. Every day this vehicle goes by and the dog shoots out, tries to catch it, chasing after the vehicle. One day, the dog finally catches the vehicle. But now the question is, now that you've caught the vehicle, what do you do? He was being propelled by the vehicle itself. What do you do when you catch the vehicle? That should be the question. So, again, you're going to catch the vehicle, which is the vision, and the vision is going to propel you along. You won't have to ask, what do I do now? But you will understand, and you will learn how to operate in the vision that God has established, the revival that God is preparing not only Israel for, but is preparing the body of Messiah, the church for. Keeping in mind there's some resistance, but God is able to break wills, but not spirit. He can break the will of pride. He can break the will of pride that leads to replacement theology. But he won't break your spirit and saying, well, what about us? Well, why are they so important? We've seen this in the book of Numbers in Bamidbar, where murmurings accomplish nothing. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. And this is the very thing that Steve was talking about in the class that Jacob Rosenberg gave. Israel's responsibility, their covenant to the world, was for Torah to go forth, the word of the Lord to go forth from Jerusalem, so that it would be the way of the world, not just the way of Israel. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, Lord, you have revealed so much, and yet we are a vessel that can only contain so much. Lord, we lift up these challenges, these burdens, these expectations to you, Lord. Lord, it is by your Spirit that we are empowered, Lord, and it is by your Spirit that we are reminded. Help us not to lose sight, not to lose memory of anything that was shared here today. Help us to understand and teach us how we are to utilize the words that have been spoken here today, Lord. For I believe everything that was spoken is profitable for some more specifically than others, Lord. But everything spoken is advantageous, is for our use, Lord. For Lord, ultimately the origin comes from your word. And you've faithfully given it to those who teach. And those who teach share. And then those who share act upon it, Lord. For Lord, you have equipped us with your word. You have equipped us with your spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh. And you have given us Messiah, equipping us with his name, a name that is authoritative. So Lord, all we need to say now is, let's go. We're ready. But continue to equip us, continue to prepare us for those specific encounters, those divine appointments, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, whoever we may come in contact with, Lord. We know and trust that you are with us because you say that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Let us rest upon you, but also, Lord, let us rely upon you and not lean on our own understanding. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say,
Amen.
You may be seated for a couple minutes. Now, there was no lack of music or worship during Messiah Conference. So, needless to say, it was integral in the evening services. It was integral as part of the Torah service. And there were new things, there were new songs that were shared that eventually you're going to hear them at the appointed time, at the right time, basically. So this is just a continuation of what we've been doing all along. Yet God continues to speak through song. He continues to minister through dance. He gives us ways of worshiping Him because He's equipped us. He formed us. He made us. He breathed life into us. As He breathed Himself into us, we became alive. And as we became alive, our desire, because His breath is in us, should be to worship Him. Yet that's not how it always goes. But keeping in mind, that's how it is here. When you have breath, your breath, when you speak, when you breathe, everything you ever say ultimately originates from Him. He is the author, but He is also the finisher. So, I mean, He has authored your faith. He has authored your life. He has authored everything in between. He's authored your journey to get to Him. And guess what? Sort of a bit of a preview. You had to take that first step to get on the Yeshua train. To catch His bus. And once you caught it, you may not have known what to do with it, but guess what? He showed you. He ultimately showed you what to do when you caught Him. So as we continue, let's be mindful that this isn't about listening to songs or just singing. This is about pouring yourself out and Him replenishing you. Because when you put water in a vessel and you consume it, what do? When it's empty, you fill it up again. You are a vessel. You are pouring your libation of worship out. And ultimately, He is the faucet. He is the river of living water. He is the source that can fill you up. So even though you may be empty, even though you may feel empty, ask, Lord, I'm dry. Fill me up. Fill me up with Your word. Fill me up through Your spirit. Fill me up. Re-energize me. Reinvigorate me. If you desire that, He will respond. Because it is that first step that we take that basically encourages Him to respond. He's waiting for us. He's waiting. If you are waiting for Him, then you've got it backwards. You have to take the first step. And He responds. It's throughout Scripture. This is scriptural. You'll get the Scriptures next week. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. Lord, what more can be said about who You are? What more can be said about Your faithfulness towards Your people and towards those who have grafted themselves into the body of Messiah? Lord, You are worthy to be praised and you are to be glorified because not only of Your mercy, Lord, but because of Your long suffering for us. For Lord, we most certainly must try Your patience because we think we know better than You. Yet where were we when You started all of this? So Lord, those who are running on empty today, those whose tanks may be low, Lord, may You fill them up during this time. May they continually seek to be replenished, Lord. And Lord, we know that Your answer is true. Because when You say seek, Your responses we will find. But we have to take the action first. Lord, may You truly be honored and may You be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks and together we say, Because as I told you, I'm going to share this week's message next week. Because right now, it's 5 after 1. So you see how much a shepherd sacrifices for his sheep and gives them the opportunity to share what they digested. They fed well, and now they got to share well. So, just a few things I wanted to share, and then we'll do the priestly blessing, and then we will eat. And keeping in mind, this isn't prepared either. The first time we went to Messiah Conference, 2013, basically the only other one in the congregation who was there was Alan. And it was just Jerry and I. And we got to experience it the first time for ourselves. Then, I think it was 2016. And we went back in 2016, 7 went with us. And Jerry and I were sort of looking, because it's like, well, we're looking at everything. It's like, well, there's not much that really interests us. So we went to a number of things, but it's like, well, okay. But as we were there, it was more about those that came with us than about us. And it's been that way ever since, to where, as Jerry shared her experience, she was still blessed. Yet God can bring you to a place even when you're not there, so to speak. He meets you where you are, and he still blesses you regardless. And I can say the same as well. I went to a few things, but it was more connecting with people that I know. It was more connecting with some of the people who were instrumental in my walk. Rabbi Frank, got to spend some time with him. Rabbi Bruce, who I shared with you, is from Jonesport. Yet, he didn't realize it until he, much later, got to Florida and said, oh, well, become a Messianic rabbi. That just getting, how I want to put this, not that I crave it, but there is a time when you need affirmation. Whether you know it or not, we are extremely isolated within the body of Messiah, within the Messianic Jewish community. There's a whole state between us and the next congregation. There isn't one in New Hampshire. We're a whole state between us and any other Messianic congregation, Messianic synagogue. So to connect sort of gives you hope, because 2 years ago that I went, it's like, does anybody know we exist? That's when I met Bruce for the first time. He sought me out. I didn't seek him out. And it was through an intermediary, a gentleman from South Carolina who is a rabbi in Greenville, said, do you know Bruce? It's like, well, I know the name. Well, he wants to speak to you. It's like, okay. First thought is, what did I do now? But since then, it's been not to seek confirmation or affirmation, but it's just to stay connected. Because, like I said, for us to go anywhere, it's a leap and a bound. Plus a tall building along the way, if anybody's getting the illusion. It's a journey, it's a trip, it's a trek. But know that you're not alone within the body, even though we seem like we are. And probably the greatest blessing, and I'm giving you my testimony of Messiah Conference, and then we'll close. The greatest blessing is a shepherd watching his sheep, watching them graze, watching them feast, watching them be joyful. The word that was used by Connie and Rita, keeping in mind they spent a lot of time together, so they must have compared notes. You think alike. The word awesome. Watching this and keeping in mind, The one thing that we try to do as a congregation is we eat together as much as we could. Anytime else, it's like you go wherever you want that interests you, but at least let's break bread together. Let's have a meal together. Let's share things. A couple people who aren't here today, Bobby showed up midway through. And as Edna had shared, Jean showed up midway through. And the thing about the main table, M-A-I-N-E, the main table is the main table. Because we would invite people to eat with us. Some of them were surprised. Well, how many are here from your congregation? 17. It's like, wow, really? And you eat together? This is what some of the rabbis were saying. You eat together with your congregation at Messiah Conference? I mean, this doesn't sound as foreign as it seems, but if you're not used to it, it's foreign to them. Last year, Jerry started doing the devotionals in the morning, and Bruce and I were sort of eating and talking. He's listening in one ear, and he's listening to Jerry in the other ear. You want to know the thing that he said? As he was listening to her, I can't believe you do that. And that's some of the best stuff you'll ever hear here. I mean, that's the type of devotion that we put into you, whether it's at conference or whether it's here. So know that we just don't say, oh, well, go fend for yourself. No, because there were some wolves in sheep's clothing that were at our table. And strangely enough, this is the interesting thing, Jerry and I were having lunch with Rabbi Frank, and they appeared when we weren't there. Yet, we prepared everyone beforehand. Know this. So there's a lot that goes on. And the one encouraging thing is that I share with you, don't believe what I say. Test it for yourself. Messiah Conference is a perfect place to test everything that I share with you. Some of them, they may not be on the same page. But with regards to sound foundational aspects, with regards to Torah, Torah is not for everyone, or all of Torah is not for everyone. You heard it here first. Well, I'm using everyone. So keeping in mind that I won't be offended if you test what I have to say. But keeping in mind, make sure you back it up, because I will back up what I say. That's my MO. So with that, hopefully you will prayerfully consider Messiah Conference for next year. Like I said, you heard, I don't know how many people we had speaking today, but you got different perspectives of the conference, interactions within the congregation, interactions outside of the congregation. So these things, I would say, are transformative, and they can continue to be. I say whatever happens at Messiah Conference, don't leave it at Messiah Conference. Unfortunately, we took a few things with us that maybe I would have liked keeping there. But that's my spiel. So if everybody will please rise.